Sermon text picks up where the epistle reading left off, 1 Corinthians 15:12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Here ends our text. Paul says if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then the Christian faith is empty, you are still in your sins, and Christians are to be pitied more than all men. Why? Didn't Jesus himself say it was finished on Good Friday? Why does Christian faith and forgiveness hang on an empty tomb? Why are we to be pitied more than unbelievers, atheists, and fellow followers of non-Christian religions if Jesus did not rise from the dead? If Jesus did not rise, then the law of God hangs over our heads undone. If Jesus did not rise, then our life is one big to-do list that never ends. You're never able to get to cross out that last thing and say, I'm done doing the law. Luke shows us this. The verse before today's gospel says, on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. The women at the cross went away from the brutalizing, frightening scene to get spices and ointments before the Sabbath started at sundown on Good Friday. The next day, they rested. They would rather have gone right to the grave and buried Jesus properly, but they must keep the Sabbath commandment. If Jesus be not raised, then so do you. Then all the Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws are still in effect, and the moral ones are left undone. Your life is one big ought, should, and must. Wherever you look up, whether it be at home, work, or play, be it with family, friends, or co-workers, you see a list of things you must do, you must think, you must say. What does the law say about this? What does the law say about that? And the law has something to say about everything, doesn't it? No wonder we're to be pitied more than anyone. We're imprisoned under the law if Jesus did not rise. Why is that? Paul says, God sent His Son into the world to be born under the law to redeem them under the law. God the Son, being true God, wasn't under any laws because whatever God wanted to do was legal for Him. It's like in a monarchy where the king is absolute sovereign. If he wants to drive 100 miles an hour down the highway or park in a handicapped parking space, he can. Likewise, God is sovereign over all things. He's not only above the law, He is the law. So God the Father sent God the Son to become a man in a virgin's womb. That put Jesus under the law just like you are. And He lived that way perfectly as an infant, toddler, teen, adult. All those shoulds, oughts, betters, have-tos, Jesus did. Then Jesus offered His perfect life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. If Jesus had sinned even once, if He had broken just one law, He couldn't offer His life in place of yours. He would have had to die for His own sins. We're not ready to tie this up yet. So far we have, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then the law hangs over your head undone, and so does punishments here and hereafter. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, your sins are still on you, and the law makes you guiltier with every passing day, so judgment looms ever larger. Even unbelievers have a sense that accounts must be settled, because in a crisis, they try to make bargains with God. If He'll do this, then they will do that or change this. And the most nagging thought of all, even to atheists, is, What if this isn't it? They can deal with death being lights out, game over. But what if there's something beyond this, where accounts are settled? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, accounts aren't settled. We last left our account with Jesus keeping the law in our place. Where we cursed, Jesus did not. Where we lust, Jesus did not. Where we worried, Jesus had faith. Where we despaired, Jesus hoped. He was the perfect son, daughter, father, mother, sister, brother, employer, employee, church member, and citizen. We are not, and our sins had to be punished, to be paid for, to settle our account. It mystifies me when people don't think God Almighty should be wrathful against sinful mankind, or that His wrath demands to be satisfied. Haven't they ever had an enemy? Haven't they ever been wronged? Didn't anyone ever show them ingratitude or disrespect? Don't they get mad when someone sins against them? If I, a sinner who have wronged so many, so often, still feel justified in my wrath and want it satisfied, how much more God, who never wrongs anyone and gives no one an excuse to wrong Him? If Jesus has not been raised, then God's wrath still seethes against us. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross as a wrath-removing sacrifice. He went to the cross to bear God's curse against all sinners. God set this up in the Old Testament. He said, "Cursed is everyone who does not keep all the laws of God." That means cursed. That means damned. That means judged are you and me. But God also said, "Cursed by God is anyone who's hanged on a tree." God nailed His only beloved Son to the tree of the cross to curse Him in your place. All the wrath, all the anger, all the judgment that we deserve, God the Father poured out on His Son on Good Friday. "Take me, Father, instead of them," Jesus said. "Judge me, Father, not them. Give me the cup containing your wrath against the sins of the world and let me drink it for them. Make me suffer, not them. Damn me, not them." And God did. He handed over His Son as if He was the worst sinner in the world. He damned Him to the lowest pit of hell because He was piled high with the world's sins. And Jesus died as sinners deserved to. Jesus did not die because He was a sinner. Jesus died as a sacrifice for sins to appease God's wrath. Jesus, as true God, couldn't be held by death unless, and this is the big one, Jesus, could, as true God, could not be held by death unless death still had a claim on Him. Death has a claim on sinners till their sins are paid for. Hell is forever because sinners can never pay off their debt of sin on their own. Jesus was not a sinner. He was holy and He lived holy. His holy life and innocent death could pay off sin's debt, and once paid, death could not hold Him. His rising proves all laws have been kept and all sins have been paid for. Jesus would still be dead if they were not. If Jesus did not rise, then the Christian faith is useless, you're still in your sins, and we, more than all other people, are to be pitied. Why? Because if Jesus did not rise, God's law hangs over our heads, demanding to be kept before we can be saved. And God's wrath against us for breaking His laws has not been satisfied and can break out against us at any moment. And finally, if Jesus did not rise, then zombies do rule. Fixation on zombies comes and goes in America. They're popular right now. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are all zombies. All mankind fell in Adam's sin, and when Adam fell, he died, and we died with him. If Jesus did not rise to life, not Adam or anyone else does either. We're the living dead now, and when we go into the grave, our bodies don't come out glorified, but zombified. If Jesus is not raised, then death does get the last dance. The dance of death is known in France and Spain and Portugal and Germany and Estonia and Italy. Death is personified and summons people from all walks of life to dance along to the grave. There's a 17th century church vestment, a chasuble, which was used for funeral masses. It's called the Totenkopf, the death chasuble. And it depicts death. It has a skeleton standing over broken crowns, scepters, and a papal tiara. It emphasizes that death overcomes all mankind, no matter how powerful you are in this life. If Jesus be not raised, then death is not just our common condition, but our permanent one, like zombies. If Jesus did not rise out of the tomb on Easter, then throw everyone and everything in there with him. When Attila the Hun was buried, his followers threw into his grave the spoils of the nations he had plundered and the captives who had dug the grave. Yes, put us all in Jesus' grave. Jesus, if he did not rise. Jesus said he came to ransom lost souls. If he didn't rise from the dead, then those souls are in the grave with him. He said he was the resurrection and the life. If he didn't rise from the dead, then you get no better body or life than the fallen one you got right now. He said he was the creator of all things. If the creator be not raised, then creation itself is eternally dead. But Jesus did rise. Sin, death, and the devil took their best shot. There was Jesus hanging helpless on the cross. The sins of the whole world hung about his neck. There hangs the sin of unbelief, of misusing his name, of neglecting his word. There hangs about the neck of Jesus the sins of fornication, abortion, homosexuality, adultery, stealing, lying, and lusting. They all hang there on the crucified Jesus. Death and the devil attack this one totally covered in sin, and they swallow him whole. But they had to spit him out. Sins could only be paid for once. Having done that, the law was satisfied and God's wrath was too. What force can hold the man who is God? What force can hold the man who is life itself? Nothing. Sin, death, and the devil had no law to cite that Jesus had not kept, and no curse, no punishment, no wrath that Jesus hadn't already endured. If Jesus is not raised, then there is no point to being here because we have no reason to sing hallelujah. The law would still be hanging over our heads and our sins about our own neck. Our life would be one big to-do list. We'd be ever cringing, waiting for God to bring the club of judgment down upon us. And this would be how we lived until we died forever. The point is, if you are living under the law of have to, better, should, must, you're living as if Jesus never rose from the dead. If you're living expecting to be cursed by God at any moment rather than blessed at every moment, you're living as if Jesus stayed in the tomb. If you're living as if the only dance partner you have left is death, you're living as if Jesus never rose. But he did. Angels tell us, apostles tell us, scripture tells us. The Spirit tells us, assures us, guarantees us that Jesus is raised by every drop of baptismal water, by every syllable of absolution, by every morsel of body bread, and every drop of blood wine. As St. Paul would say it, my preaching is not useless, and your faith is not in vain. You are no more in your sins than Jesus is in that grave, and we neither want nor ask for any man that we neither want nor ask pity from any man, but on the contrary, we want and ask for all men everywhere to join us in saying he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with